Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. Next week, I want to talk about marriage, if Sheridan's not back. Maybe we'll talk about it if he does come back. Marriage is a vital topic for discussion because Satan is using the home to destroy the message. He's destroying families. People are despairing. And it's really bringing the message into disrepute. And it's just messing up so many lives that people are just trying to survive. All they want is a beer. All they want is a beer and to go to bed. They can't think about scripture. When you're miserable, this is a two-edged sword kind of, what I'm going to say. When you're miserable, you just want a beer and you want to go to bed. Unless you're me, you may want a glass of wine. It's more sophisticated to drink a glass of wine. Once in a while, maybe a little shot of whiskey. And you just want to go to bed. On the other hand, it's sometimes this, well, on the other hand, it's those traumas in life and the despair that you feel that drive you to Christ. But the family is where Satan is hitting hardest. I will never forget Matt Rohrbeck and I. Did I mention this to you last week? Did I tell this story? I did? All right, well, I'm going to tell it again. We distributed pamphlets back in the day. I wrote a newsletter back in 1993. My first newsletter was called The Idle Babbler Illustrated. A lot of you may still remember that. But to advertise it, my friend Matt and I, we actually went out and did something that I would never do today. We put pamphlets in people's windshields under their, you know, windshield wipers. We went to churches and the Walmarts, and I cringe when I think about it. You know, God delivered us from that, and he showed us that we were idiots. That's always helpful to know along the path of transcendence, is the day you realize you're an idiot. It's great. It's a wonderful enlightenment, and your work really improves after that because there's nowhere to go but up. It's fantastic. I recommend it to everybody. So back in that day, we thought that the persecution was going to come from people coming out of the church and calling us names or throwing rocks at us like they did to Paul. We thought all the persecution was going to come from without. So we were gearing up for the mean Christians to be mean to us. And you know what happened? The persecutions, every last one of them, came from within. Came from within the family unit or close to it. Friends, relatives, family. Oh, that smarts worse than anything. You're never prepared for that. It comes in the back door, it blindsides you, and you're flattened. And that's exactly, again, where God wants you. But it's just the shock, the devastation of an attack like that, an inside job, is completely shocking. It will level you. But that's where God wants you. And from the place of weakness comes strength. When I am weak, he is strong. It's all about him. And yet we're the vessels. I'm not saying we're not the vessels. And yet we become vessels fit for his use when we realize that the glory is for God. I'm not saying that the principle doesn't apply honor to whom honor is due. Paul lives in the relative world. He's not this absolutist who said, well, God did it. God did it. God did it. Don't look at me. Don't thank me. No, he let people look at him and thank him because he was the vessel God used. Honor to whom honor is due. There's a place for that. People write me and say, boy, that book you wrote really changed my life. It helped me. I say, thank you. I know some people would say, it's not me. No, it's not me. It's all God. Jesus did it. I didn't write that book. Really? Jesus did? Jesus wrote the book? Really? I mean, you didn't sit at the computer and tap out every word? Well, yeah, but then you wrote it. So I'm thanking you. So just say, you're welcome. So that's what I do now. 2 Corinthians. If I don't be careful, I'm not going to get through this again. And I want to get through this. We just talked yesterday, and this week we've been talking about how Paul was inordinately burdened over our ability, he and his partners, and that they were despairing of life. They wanted it all to stop. They wanted the silence of the grave, the quietness, the coolness, the stillness of the grave. I hate to think about getting to the grave, but sometimes the calmness and the coolness and the stillness and the silence and the peace of the grave is appealing. Then I shake it off, and I say, no, I don't want that. I want to be productive in this life, and I want to be snatched away. That's the best thing. The best thing is to be snatched away to be with Christ. Resurrection is the best thing. We don't desire to be stripped, as Paul says in another place. We don't desire to be disembodied. We don't desire the death state. You might desire the rest, the peace, the quiet, the stillness, and the coolness. But you don't desire the absence of Christ in your life. So we want to be with him. So Paul says, inordinately burdened, over our ability, despairing of life, but we have this rescript of death in ourselves. That's a sentence. I like the King James better there, rescript. That's a concordant version. What does that mean even? Well, I looked it up, and I found it out that in the King James version, it's the sentence of death. It's like, can we say like you're doomed? It's like we have the sentence of death. We're doomed on this planet. You often feel that? You're born, it's like, I'm doomed. I envy 87-year-olds. A wonderful woman from the Ecclesia in Colorado called me the other day. God bless you, Delois Carlton. And she's 87 years young. And she goes, well, I'm 87 years young. And she said old. I say young. I don't know how long I'm going to have on this world. And I said, you know what, Delois, in a way, I envy you. I really do. And she laughed. And there's another member of the Ecclesia in Colorado, Jerry Visser. He's up there, too. He's getting to be 80. Hi, Jerry. God bless you. I love everyone there. I want you to know that I love you. I miss you. The hospitality here and the fellowship and the work and the energy and the peace here has been amazing in Pennsylvania. I have had real pangs of homesickness for you and for my state of Colorado and for everything that I had there. I really do am homesick for it many times, and I know I'm in this transition and it's a necessity. God did this happened to me, and so I'm doing the best I can. I want all of you to know in Colorado Ecclesia, the Monument Ecclesia, and in the Ecclesia in Aurora, Colorado, at the home of Delois Carlton, I love you all, and I miss you, and I hope you miss me too. We have this sentence of death in ourselves, that we may be having no confidence in ourselves but in God. Again, it's still us doing the work, but now we're a vessel lacking that vainglory or that confidence or that braggadocio. We're lacking that. It's still us doing it. It's still me writing the book. It's still me talking to you. It's still me. You can write me and say, Martin, I really enjoyed your message. Or, Martin, you know, I hated your message. It's still me doing this. But now the confidence is not in myself. The confidence is in God. What produces this amazing work, the rescript of death, the sentence of death, the trials that we're going through? We have no confidence in ourselves but in God, who rouses the dead. Love that. Rouses the dead. He rouses the literal dead, and he rouses the figurative dead. Sometimes we feel like we're dying. Well, we are. Every day we're dying. Someday we're going to literally die. Not us, though, because the snatching away is going to happen in 5 minutes. That's what I'm telling people now. I'm tired of saying, 5 years or so. People say, Martin, when do you think the snatching away is going to occur? And I say, you know, it might be five years, maybe two. I don't even believe that. So I don't know why I keep saying that. It seems like the reasonable, rational answer. I can't see 5 years going by, or possibly two. You know what I tell people now? Because I literally believe this. Martin, we're getting close. Huh? When do you think the snatching away is going to happen? I say 5 minutes. Because that's what I literally believe. I don't care how stupid it sounds now. I'm going to say it. That's what I believe. I believe, as I'm sitting here, the snatching away is going to occur in 5 minutes. That's the way we're supposed to believe. Paul thought it was going to happen in 5 minutes. So that's what I tell people now. And I mean it. Every time I say it, I mean it. I'm not going to play games with you like I think it's going to happen in 2 years from now. No, 2 years from now? God help us. It's going to happen in 5 minutes. So we have confidence in God, who rouses the dead and who rescues us from a death of such proportions. I think that's a figurative death there, a death of such proportions. This is the death that Paul was living, death, quote, unquote. Not a literal death, but he was living this wanting to die. He had a cloud hanging over his head. Some nice Charlie Brown, you know, when he gets really frustrated, Charles Schulz drew this little cartoon balloon over his head, and inside the balloon, instead of words, it was like a black scribble. You're just like, you know, it's just like your gloom. You know, here in Pennsylvania, there's so many clouds, you can hardly see the sun. The sun shone today, thank God, it was a real mercy, but most of the time there's a layer of clouds. And in case that layer breaks up, there's a safety layer above it so that it will protect you from the sun, you know. It's the worst thing to happen to see the sun. There was a huge accident happened today, and the sun came out. But I start to realize that God didn't set me on this planet to enjoy the weather. That was a real realization. I came to that like a week and a half ago. I'm not on this planet to enjoy the weather. I'm here to herald the word opportunely and inopportunely. I'm here to write words that are going to give you peace. I'm here to talk into this microphone to give you an expectation and a hope and a desire for Christ. I'm here to let you know that we're all fellowshipping together right now through these words. It's an amazing thing. That's what I'm here for. If the weather's nice, I like that. Believe me, the sun comes out, I'm running out there. The sun's out, the sun's out. Someone's like, the British are coming, the British are coming. The sun is out. I'm freaking out today. It was fantastic. So I'm out in it all day. Just because, you know, I really miss that about Colorado. Don't get me started. But to be here with Clyde and to work together, to pull together the same load here, it's been a real blessing. This is where God has me. This is an amazing landing place where God has placed me, and I'm thankful for it. And He will be rescuing us, on whom we rely that He will still be rescuing. The same word within two statements of Scripture. This is significant here in verse 11. And He will be rescuing us, verse 10, on whom we rely that He will still be rescuing also. Rescuing, rescuing. That's what we're looking for. Oh, you people are only looking to be rescued. Yeah, that's right. You got a problem with that? Yeah, I want rescued. I want rescued now. You also assisting together by a petition for us in order that from many faces He may be thanked. Many faces. This is what I was getting at earlier this week. I love talking to you. I love writing to you. But to see your faces is a desire that I have. This has been planted in my heart again. It was there in 2007. I want to come and see you. And I'm working this out. Apparently God's working it out for me. I'm just a chess piece on the big board is all I am. Assisting together by a petition for us, in order that from many faces He may be thanked by many for us for the gracious gift given to us. What's the gracious gift given to us? Could be one of two things here. I think it could be the gracious, it's been graciously granted to us to be suffering for His sake, Philippians 1:29. That's the gift granted Paul. And that God, he wanted God to be thanked by many people for us for the gracious gift given to us. That could be what it is. But you know what? I know I'm running out of time. I think that it's the gift that He gave Paul to herald the word. Paul had a gift for it. He could communicate. He had a desire. He had a passion. He had to do it. Woe to me if I don't do it. That's what Paul said. He couldn't not do it. And so he appreciated being that God would be thanked for giving him this gift, that he may be thanked by many for us for the gracious gift given to us. Not everybody spends a day and night in the swamp. Not everybody is out there despairing of life like Paul and his companions were. And so Paul's desire was for many people to thank God that there were even himself and a few others heralding the word. And we ought to thank God for that as well. All right, so all this, and I still haven't gotten to that lovely verse on the shelf, John 18:36. So I'm going to do that on Monday. All right, I really am. I promise. Well, no, I better not do that because I said I'm going to talk about marriage. Well, we're going to talk about marriage and Christ's behavior before Pilate. This has been Martin Zender. Have a great week, and I hope the sun's shining where you are. It's always shining above the clouds. Have a great weekend. Or did I already say that? I can't remember. Oh, well, that's okay.